stays right here in this slot. Pick Six Previews will let you know how you can get all his content and all his information. Brett, good morning. Here is a question. Steven down in Georgia, in Hawkinsville, Georgia, says JT Daniel is in the portal. Caleb Williams still undecided. Would it be bad for Georgia to bring back Stetson Bennett instead of having one of those freshmen start the season? Or, and we were talking yesterday with Mike Griffith with the Dog Nation, AJC's Dog Nation, Brett, and he said they're also searching out, and this name right here, Caleb Williams, but they're searching out a grad transfer or a transfer quarterback too.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on. To answer the question, of course you bring back Stetson Bennett. You welcome him back if he wants to continue his career with Georgia. You're talking about a Georgia legend. I mean, he led Georgia to their first national title in 41 years. And, you know, he really shined down the stretch. So, yeah, of course bring him back if he wants to continue his career. I think at this point in modern college football, you take as many quarterbacks as you can. You just stockpile quarterbacks, just given how quickly they can come and leave. You want to build up the best, quarterback room you can for spring to produce a big quarterback battle and let the chips fall where they may. So if Caleb Williams is interested, yeah, of course, bring him in. And if there's experienced grad transfer quarterbacks, bring them in as well. Have a great competition in spring just to set up your odds that you have a solid starter and backup for the fall.
The assumption is that Caleb Williams is going to USC, but he has not confirmed that yet.
Yeah, that was the conventional thinking that he would follow Lincoln Riley out to USC. Of course, he started halfway through the year at Oklahoma. I would say USC is the favorite. I would say Oklahoma would be the close second favorite. I'm surprised he even wanted to transfer. I think this is the first case of a real Power 5, national title contender quarterback, Heisman candidate probably for next year, that enters the portal. So we thought maybe this was him testing the market, kind of like a live auction, just seeing what else is out there. So I would just consider USC and Oklahoma the favorites still, but we'll see.
Couple of other items. Bo Nix has apparently decided on his new home, Oregon, and Auburn has taken in Robbie Ashford from Oregon, a quarterback, and also a DB and a defensive lineman, Jason Jones. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's like, we have a trade in the works. It's like the NFL now, full blown.
Yeah.
So, Oregon and Auburn have a trade, quarterback swap and other prospects. So, it's just crazy. Bo Nix, he really sums up the transfer portal saga, just given that he was a lifelong Auburn fan, a legacy guy at Auburn, his dad obviously involved there playing. And then he comes in, starts as, I think, a freshman, ironically beats Oregon in his first big moment. That game. But then, a great career, a couple years there, starter. He had his trials and tribulations this year as a junior, lost the starting job, battled back, won it back, and had some wins down the stretch. So just to see a guy, Mr. Auburn, to enter the portal, that really just sums it up for me. And, it's somewhat sad in a way. Just, you want these guys to stay at their lifelong dream colleges, but, if they want to compete at different places, that's their right at this point. So, I don't know, that one really stood out to me as like, wow, this is pretty deep.
Brett Cianci of Pick Six Previews joins us. Brett, I don't know if you were old enough to remember Ron Franklin broadcasting ESPN games.
Yeah, I do have some familiarity with him. I remember him in the early 2000s, 2010s, early 2010s. A great announcer for the sport. So that was some sad news there. Terrible news to see that come across yesterday. Yeah, he was one of the great ones.
Saturday night games with Coach Mike Gottfried and then Adrian Karsten on the sidelines. And sad news, Adrian Karsten years ago took his life. He had a tough time there after that. It was sad story. I did not know that until people were linking me this morning about Ron Franklin. He was 79, and if you're just tuning us in, he passed away apparently Tuesday night. Brett Cianci of Pick Six Previews with us every Wednesday. When you look at just college football right now, Brett, and all these players coming and going, LSU's taking in a bunch. We'll talk about that top of the hour with Blake Ruffino. but they're taking in a bunch to replenish their roster. What are we looking at? And do you think at some point somebody with leadership at the NCAA will step up and regulate this a little bit?
Yeah, I think we're looking at an absolute circus right now. I mean, it's out of control. Now, I'm looking at this from the perspective I cover all 65 Power 5 teams for my annual season preview book. And just seeing the headlines, the rumors, the transfers every day, every hour, it's just hard to even start on next year's book. I mean, it's really tough. So many pieces are in play. It never used to be like this. It kind of happened where you'd have your recruiting cycle, and then you'd have the February signing day, and that was pretty much locked in. You'd have your players declaring early for the NFL and who's coming, who's staying. And, you know, by the time you hit that early signing day, the rosters are pretty much locked. Then it was a matter of getting to know the new coaching schemes and then spring. So, but now it's completely different. It's free agency every day of the year, 365 days. You know, people, and these are not just backups anymore that are transferring. These are multi-year starters. They're all conference candidates, all Americans in some cases. So enough to just totally change a team's outlook overnight. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think there has to be some kind of framework to do this in. I don't think that we're going to be able to put the genie back in the bottle, per se, on transfers and NIL and all that stuff. That's newly evolving. But I think to have it in some kind of organized framework where, hey, you can transfer after the season for 2 months. There's a transfer window. You know, make your visits, get to know the new coaches, and make your decision. But this whole, like, you know, transferring all the way up until August, it's crazy. And, you know, and it's probably what's best for the student, too, is just have them hunker down and make your decision and do that out for a whole year. You know, a lot less of the circus. So I agree with you in that sense.
We hear about the name players, and they always have a home. But what I want in a year or so is data that tells us what percentage of players that go in the portal never find a home and lose their scholarship because they left and they have nowhere to go. I bet you that number is alarming.
Oh, it's huge. That's really the untold side of this. Yeah, you're right. To the three-star players or some of the backup guys that you know may have a different image of where they should be and put their name in there with a big Twitter post and a big long message on Twitter. You know, they put their name in that in the portal and they just sit there. And then meanwhile, it's like musical chairs. You know, in the background, their roster spot at their old school is filled immediately by a five-star or a four-star recruit or another transfer from another FBS roster. And then the music stops, and they're stuck with no home. So I think the number was since August 1st, so about a half a year here, there was over 1,000 players enter the portal. And I think a third or something, or at least half, still have no home. And we're well past the season. We're into, you know, most of the early signing class is signed. And a lot of these transfers are already going through. So, yeah, it's a huge number. That's the untold story of it. And a lot of them are going to have to move down to the FCS level, sacrificing scholarship money and really a spot on an FBS team.
Arkansas, look at what they've taken in. They took Jaden Hazelwood, former five-star receiver from Georgia, was out there at Oklahoma. never was quite right, but he's got ability. And they just got Drew Sanders, who started a couple of games for Alabama this last year, linebacker, former five-star out of the Dallas area. And he's found a home there in Arkansas, too, in Fayetteville, too. They look to be adding pretty well.
Yeah, I think that those two names, and then also the way that they defended Kendall Briles, their offensive coordinator, away from some big jobs. It was reported that Briles was offered the Miami offensive coordinator job, and Briles decided to stay at Arkansas. And I think that those three names and instances right there kind of prove what Sam Pittman's building there, a great culture, a winning culture at this point after, you know, a double-digit win season or maybe nine-win season, first in a long time, first in a decade for them. So they're fun to watch, I mean, on both sides of the ball, defense flying around the field, playing with energy, high speed, offense. I mean, they're just touching their surface, really. So I'm excited for them as a program. Their fans deserve it. But, yeah, these news pieces that are coming out the last couple of weeks, it's just proving what Sam Pittman is building there, and players and coaches are really noticing. So congrats, Arkansas, I think, overall.
What do you see at Notre Dame right now? They've had a bunch of turnover. Now, some of it, obviously, coaches getting opportunities. Lance Taylor, the running back coach, gets the job at Louisville as the play caller, the offensive coordinator, so that's a nice upgrade. Mike Elston, though, leaving for Michigan, defensive line coach. Notre Dame also has taken in a grad transfer punter from Harvard. That happened yesterday. They've also got a kicker from, what was it, Arkansas State who's coming in, a place kicker from Arkansas State. Your thoughts on the Irish?
Yeah, so I think on a higher level, in terms of their head coaching change, deciding to stay within the program, that's had some success recently. When you look at the other blue bloods and teams that are annually in that playoff conversation, the first one to really do it, well, not the first one, but a recent one was Oklahoma. When Bob Stoops left, he kind of picked his successor, and Lincoln Riley rose up, and he led the charge on, you know, incredible offenses, Heisman winners, and playoff bids. And then you look over at Ohio State, when Urban Meyer left, they hired from within to Ryan Day and really kept the continuity there, kept their roster intact and their recruiting classes intact, and really actually upgraded the recruiting since Urban Meyer, which is incredible to think. So it's two different examples, but to see it here at Notre Dame, where rather than blowing up the whole thing and starting over, to keep most of the framework intact and promote up Freeman from within the program, a player's coach, players love him. The recruits love him, as you can see already, given that effect. But staying within the program, and it's been a proven formula there, and this might just elevate it even more. So that's the optimistic outlook there, and you're seeing it borne out through recruiting already. So outlook for Notre Dame, I think, is strong so far. And let's see. I know they, you know, struggled down the stretch in the bowl game, but you don't want to put too much onto that. It was an interim type scenario for him. So I think a full offseason exciting. Hope to talk to him and their staff this year in my book prep.
Brett, tell everybody how they can get your content.
Thanks. It's at Pick Six Previews on Twitter, picksixpreviews.com, and that is an annual season preview book coming out July. So, you know, 7 months to go. I'm starting my research. I'm excited to dig into this thing. Film, numbers, calling coaches, calling coordinators, everything. So I'll be on here every Wednesday.
See you next week, sir.
Thanks, Bill.